حنجرة ذهبية.
إيه؟ في عربي في الراديو هين بالسيارة في شيكاغو؟
طوت إلى الزمن الجميل، زمان العمالقة والفن الحقيقي.
ألو؟
أيوة الحكي يا مرا، بقولوا عربي بالراديو، بحكوا عربي.
مين هذا اللي بيحكوا عربي؟
هون بالراديو بحكوا عربي على يا هلا، بقولوا اسمهم يا هلا وهون في شيكاغو.
أنت وين هالكيت؟
أنا بالسيارة مروح من الشغل في مشتقن أفينيو جنب الميلينيون بارك هذا، بالسيارة وما بفتح على الراديو إلا بسمعهم بيحكوا عربي، اسمهم يا هلا من 1450 من شيكاغو.
يا حج من وين بده يجي الراديو العربي؟ في أمريكا وفي شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم ومن السيارة كمان؟ والله زودتها.
إيش يعني بتقول إني خرفنيت؟ والله يا هلا 1450 من شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم، هيني بسمعهم بالسيارة ومش مصدقتيني، خذي اسمعي.
يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله ما نرضى تروح من عنا، ما نرضى تروح، لا والله ما نرضى تروح، لا والله. ما نرضى تروح لا والله، ما نرضى تروح لا والله.
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town. Talk of the Town with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems.
Hey, and welcome to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at YahalaVoice.com Radio and 1450 AM Radio. Broadcast live on radio and online all over the world and the universe, because we got a lot of Martians, aliens listening to us all the time. We get some alien-like, what would be the word for alien-like, alien-like emails sometimes from people. They hate us. You know, the aliens don't like human beings. It's pretty clear from the emails that I get. It's Friday, December 26th, day after Christmas, a few days after Hanukkah, and a few days before the new year. Our producer is Khaled Khilfa. Khaled, how you doing, man? You saw that movie, The Interview?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later with Ali Yunus. We're going to get into that and see what it was like. So don't tell anybody. And spoiler alert, because we will spoil the movie. All right. We're going to tell you exactly. We're going to blow it on you. Talk of the Town is brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need. Available today at 1-800-421-3366. If you want to call in and join our conversation, you can talk to Khaled by dialing 708-321-1313, extension 1, and it'll put you on the air. We want to hear what you have to say. You know, your opinion means something to us. We broadcast live on radio at 1450 AM and online at YahalaVoice.com every Friday at 4.05 PM. The show is rebroadcast online on Mondays at 11 AM at YahalaVoice.com. You can download the podcast, usually by the middle of each week, or the following week, from iTunes or off our website at TheArabDailyNews.com, where you can read my columns that are syndicated by Creators Syndicate. I also write for several local Chicagoland newspapers on Illinois and Chicago issues for the Des Plaines Valley News, the Southwest News Herald, and now the Regional News and the Payless Reporter newspapers. On the line with me is a comedian. I knew this guy when he was a nobody. He was just a Jordanian who used to eat mensif under the tent and smoke a hookah, the nargila, and now he... Yeah, that's right. He's just a regular Arab, an Arab dude, you know, from Jordan, the Urdaniya, you know, from the Hashemite kingdom, just making his way through America, and he hit it big. This guy's a famous comedian now in Hollywood. He probably doesn't even remember us. Ramsey Swayze, how you doing, my man?
I'm good.
I thought you were mad at me.
I'm actually about... No,
No, never. I thought you were mad at me because I still have about 20 pages to finish. Actually, like 40 pages to finish. I'm glad I look like a terrorist.
Oh, you're reading the book, or you're just stealing it? You're just plagiarizing it? I'm joking with you, Ramsey.
I thought, yeah, no.
See, Ramsey, that's a problem with Arab comedians.
Yeah,
we're on the defensive. We love you, Ramsey.
Yeah, that's.
We love you. You can never do anything that would make us mad at you. You kelp. No.
Yeah, I was going to ask that, actually.
What are we going to ask? We love you, Ramsey. We don't hate you. We may get mad at you. We got your picture on a dartboard. You know, every time I break up with an ex-wife, you know, because I'm going through four. Being a Christian Arab, I can have 40 wives. That's a secret gospel in the Bible. My friend Khalid here can only have 4 wives, but I can have 40. But we don't like to brag about it, you know, because people get mad. But Siri,
I actually had a question about religion.
Uh-oh.
You could answer it.
I can't answer it. This is the voice. I am related to Jesus, though. My mother's from Bethlehem, so shoot. Let's go.
So, isn't it true that there's only religious people?
Lightning's going to strike you, John Ramsey.
Believe
that what?
Oh yeah, I just think I think that religion is not legit unless you believe that, like,
if you believe in my religion,
you know, Abraham for Jews or
yes.
Muhammad for the Muslims or Jesus for the Christians. If they don't believe that he's coming back, then there's no point in being religious or saying that you're religious.
Right.
Or having religion. If you don't believe in the resurrection, right?
Listen, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I do have a question for you. No, you're right. I'm joking with you, Ramsey. I think he's too nervous. Are you nervous or something? What's going on, Ramsey? I have a question for you. When Moses was crossing the Sinai, when he was escaping the Egyptians claimed they weren't chasing him out, but the Hebrews say they were. Did they have a comedian with them those 40 nights that he was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments while all of them were dancing around the golden goat? And was it a goat or was it a cow? See, because the Indians think it was a cow, but being Arab, I can't see, you know, making a goat out of gold. We would eat it. By the time we'd say, okay, put that goat there, let's make a statue. Someone would eat it. The Jordanians would eat it, right? Right away. They'd take it from us. Make mensif.
Yeah. It was a calf. I think that's a sheep. I think that's a baby sheep.
Is it? That shows it that Ramsey never graduated from elementary school in Chicago. Okay. Hey, Ramsey, your career is like skyrocketing. You're all over the internet. I see you everywhere. Tell us what you've been doing, seriously. Give us some ideas, some of the stuff, because you've been doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm about 70 miles southeast of Hollywood, but I'm looking to move closer, probably like 75 or something. But I'm going to be there on Monday, the Monday after this Monday. Mm-hmm. I have an interview with Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader or an audition.
All right.
And then on the following day, I have an interview for another comedy game show.
Really?
Where they throw you up in the air. Yeah.
It's, wait, they throw you up in the air?
I'm prepared. They don't. Yeah.
It's like little people tossing.
I think it's. Yeah.
I think we're going to. Hey, Yahala Voice would like to hire you, and we're going to throw you against a dartboard. Little people tossing. We're going to put that, that stuff on you that sticks. What do they call that stuff? Velcro? We're going to wrap you in Velcro, and Colin and I are going to toss you. We're going to do little people tossing. I don't want to use the M word, though. You're going to use the rocks? You're going to throw rocks at him? Oh, man. That's rough. See, he's Palestinian. He's only been here from the West Bank for like 6 weeks. Right away, everything is about a rock and a stone. You know? These guys are unbelievable. Hey, put that rock down, Colin.
You're actually...
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You're actually on the money because I just posted a year in review 2014 on YouTube where I have like the 12... greatest highlights of this past year, you know, in honor of New Year's Eve, and then I wrote, and then I edited or published a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer 40-second comedy for Christmas,
right.
And then I actually just finished the greatest quotes of all time, 54 quotes, movie quotes in 24 minutes. And I actually included that link in my latest article for the Arab Daily News called The Sony Hackers.
Right, which
and
is...
And actually, I wanted to mention that after I wrote it, I couldn't even use my computer for like 15 minutes.
Because it was...
I think someone might have hacked into my...
No, you know what? The traffic gets so heavy. We've gotten a million hits last month. And you're one of our top... You and Ali Younes are our two top writers at the Arab Daily News. You may be our top writer, I think. I think you're our top writer. You know, and that's kind of funny because you're a little Jordanian guy. You're kind of short. You know, you're a little people, right? Aren't you? Are you a kid?
We got the Napoleon complex.
Are you? You're like Napoleon. You know, there's swastikas all over the place. It's like the swastikas are spread out all over. Khaled, you know Swayze, don't you? I know Swayze. How could you not know the Swayze? You go into 7-Eleven and get a can of booze, they're selling it to you at 14.
You know what swass is?
Swass? I don't want to know. Is that a bad word?
My son's in the studio. It's hyphenated for sweaty ass.
Uh-oh. Oh, can we say that? It's too late. We're messed up here. We're in trouble. You know, you can say anything, just don't criticize Israel, all right, or Netanyahu, and we'll be okay. The government doesn't care. Now my son's giving me a bad look. He's said I'm finished. He's telling Mom. I don't know, I should have never brought him to the studio. How you doing? My son Aaron Hanania. Hey, how you doing, Aaron? He's busy.
Hi, Aaron.
I bought him off with computer games. That's how I keep him on our side. I think if we did that more in Israel, we'd have
Aaron.
A Palestinian
I met him at the
state.
Post office.
You're what?
Didn't I meet Aaron at the post office?
No, he saw your picture on the wall at the post office, I think. That's what it was. A wanted poster. Ramsey's too young
and
to know
so,
what wanted
oh, yeah.
posters
so,
are, because he's all internet.
In the fire.
Ramsey is all internet. Your whole generation is internet, Ramsey. But you, but listen, your videos get thousands of hits.
Thank you.
Your videos get lots of hits.
I did about gentrification from Hollywood because, you know, there are a lot of, you know, like you said, people that are just, you know, greedy and they don't really let anybody in. They kind of box you out. And I have one about a casting agent right now. She's the one that's working for me for free, got me on these two game shows. I could win some money.
Wow.
And make fun of some little kids or not make fun of them, but kind of put my IQ in their face because they think they're smarter than me. But only two people have won $1 million.
And this is a TV show.
It's only an audition.
Isn't that a TV? Oh, you're doing the audition, but this is for the TV show, right?
By Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah, Aaron, you've seen that, right?
And I went to a comedy show, and they wouldn't let me in because they thought I was under 21.
You're a little guy. That's because
3 years ago, I was 28.
You're a little guy. You look like 14, Ramsey. How do they let? Don't they card you when you go into a bar? Where's our comedian? Who's the kid on stage?
Yeah, and that's why I got arrested so many times.
Really? Now you're known for.
They would just target me.
You're known for. Your motto is never repeat a joke, right?
Yeah, and my website just went live on Christmas Eve. It's neverrepeatajoke.com or RamseySwice.com. It takes you to the same place, and it's phenomenal. It's probably going to be better in the days, but it's really good right now. It has a film diary. It has an Arab. When I was in the Middle East for 2 years, I wrote a journal for every day, so I had 300 and... or for 1 year, for 365 days living in the Middle East. It has, songs and songs and poems that I wrote about my friend. Like, I wrote a poem for every person I've ever met in my life.
Really?
It's really like a hermit type of, something that a hermit would do, but it's kind of nice.
You just sound like too nice of a guy to be a comedian. You gotta, and you know what my motto is? I just repeat jokes. That's all I do. Because I have like 1,948 jokes in honor of Palestine. 1,948 jokes, and that's it. I don't have any more or any less. And I start at the top, and I just keep repeating the jokes over and over again. You never, I don't know how you manage to do that. You never repeat a joke. Every joke is like a new joke.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Thank you. I mean, because if I make it, you know, like on air or, you know, some kind of a major broadcast,
right.
People understand that, you know, comedian, it's a platform for people. Like, you don't have to go to school. You know, you just have to have talent, and talent means something. And,
yep.
You know, the First Amendment means something. And, you know, if they could see somebody that made it, it's going to inspire people. You know, someone that doesn't repeat jokes and... it's just a really inspiration. I mean, it's my heart, and I don't care about making it. You know, it's just I'm just following my heart. But I did 77 shows since I moved to LA. One was on the beach, which I know you liked. And anyway, I did one on New Jersey radio, and I told you how racist they were.
Yeah.
But it was really funny. They were laughing really hard, surprisingly. And then I just did one in Nashville when I went over there and. They call me the brown guy. People that I'd never even met before call me brown. No one's ever said that to me before.
But
it was cool.
I think that's really cool.
It's exotic, I think.
Exotic, and I being a comedian is fun. I do it part time, you know, just for the kicks. But you do it; it's like your livelihood, right? It's how you make money. Or you're not making money yet.
Yeah, I got.
What'd you tell your mom? You're
a
doctor?
By the Salvation Army. What's that?
What'd you tell your mom? You're a doctor? What'd you tell your mom when she asked you what you do? I'm a doctor, Yama. Baba. Doctor.
I say a culture columnist or.
With the Arab Daily News.
I say showrunner.
You're our highest paid columnist,
yeah.
You tell them, at the Arab Daily News.
Yeah, read my work. I just posted one. The New Yorker opened up their archive, and I singled out an article from 1936.
Wow.
It's about, they call it artist.
Wow.
And it's on your page. It's really good.
Well, listen, on the serious side, you're a good writer, Ramsey. I think you're a really good writer. I enjoy your stuff when you write it. It's very good. It's off the wall. You know, it's like stuff that you think about, but you don't always think about until someone puts it in front of your face and you go, yeah, okay, I get it. You know, but my mind doesn't.
Yeah, and I'm reading an article about Bob Hope, and he was the first guy to use cue cards, and I sometimes do that, but, you know... You know, one of the key things is that I don't care about impressing somebody, and that's
right.
Why that was kind of the switch that made me, you know, walk out the door and walk into a comedy club.
Right.
Was the fact that I don't, if there's no one to impress, but I'm also, probably the next article that I'm going to publish called it's called The Titles That People Have Told Me to Name. I Never Repeat a Joke, because people are always telling me that. Change the name,
right? So they wait.
Well,
they don't want you to.
It's gonna be.
What is it that they don't want you to, that they don't want? What do they want to change?
Well, they think I should change the name to like My Rise to Fame or Court Gesture
no.
or Off the Cuff or what?
No, I don't repeat a joke. Is a great
18 different names or 19
yeah.
different names? The fourth wall. What was that?
I don't repeat a joke is so unique, right? Does anybody else say that or?
Yeah.
That's unique.
My dad said I should change my name, Ramsey, to I Never Repeat a Joke.
To officially, so your official name would be I Never Repeat a Joke Sways. Khaled, what would I Never Repeat a Joke be in Arabic? How would you say I Never Repeat a Joke in Arabic? That's going to be your name, Ramsey. Did you write that down? Say that again, Khaled.
مرح أحكي نكتة مرتين أو مرح أعيد ولا نكتة.
Omar
yeah.
Haid Wal Ukti. Is that what it is? Or what did I say? I said Omar was asking for a shake at McDonald's. That's what it sounded like I said. What did you say? Yeah, Omar's asking for Mulchia. That's what it sounded like. You called poor Ramsey. You called him Mulchia. Why don't we just call you Mulchia? That's an easy word to pronounce. Mulchia. Mentsef. No, Mentsef is easy. And anyway, King Abdullah get really angry with Ramsay because, you know, Ramsay's actually taller than King Abdullah because he's a real short guy. And he gets really angry. That's why Ramsay can't perform in Jordan because he's taller than the king. The king doesn't allow anybody taller than him, right, to perform. Is that true, Ramsay?
No, my show 73 was in the Middle East.
Was
in Jabal Webda.
Really? Oh,
and I had a sign that said, Lata Qatar Nukta Martain. It was all in Arabic, too. This was my brand new camera.
Wow. And did you, and you did a show out there? How did they receive it? How was the response?
Oh, my God. Well, I went up. I'm an investor in an art cafe, and I want to get comedy going there. And Royal TV was, one of the guys was there, but they said they were going to record it, but they didn't. But, there was probably about 25 people, and it was a great success, and people were laughing. And then because it kind of had a snowball effect, and people wanted to come up and after me, and they started telling jokes. And I think that I would have a lot more success, or I would have a lot better better chance of success if I stayed in the Middle East, and that's what I want to do. Go to my art cafe and just tell jokes.
Well, you know, the Mukhabarat probably has a recording.
Like wildfire, and everyone wants to tell jokes. Sorry?
The Mukhabarat, they have a recording of you in Jordan. They got it. Believe me. King Abdullah doesn't allow anybody taller than him to walk around in that country saying anything without recording what they say, right? We know. Don't worry about it. If the king gets mad at you, blame it on me, all right? If you get a call from the king and he says, Ramzi, and Abdullah Hana, Maujud, Abdullah Maujud, or no, that's what you say, is Abdullah Maujud? That's my terrible Arabic. Even I got Ramzi confused, okay? That's how confusing I am. All right, Ramzi, what else is happening in your life? What else is going on? What's your next big thing that we should look out for? Jay Leno. Oh, he's gone. David Letterman. Oh, he's going to be gone. Wait. Joan Rivers, you're going to be, oh, she's dead. She was mean, too. She was mean.
I think on her, the eulogy on her headstone says, I have the last laugh.
Wow. She was just a mean person.
And it's funny because she's known as Leatherface, you know, and you wouldn't want somebody like that laughing because it's really scary. You know?
And it would break her face.
Shrieking horror. And
yeah, I know. With all that plastic surgery. It looks like saran wrap stretched over her face. I don't know if you've ever seen her. But where's the next big place where you're going to be, Ramsay? We want to see you. I want to see you on TV and not in the news. I don't want to see you on CNN arrested in Hollywood, you know, suspected of some terrorist activity. Another Jordanian causing trouble. All right. We don't want you. Oh, wait. Somebody said you were going to be opening a store in Ferguson, Missouri. Where are you? You know, all those stores they burned down were Arab-owned stores. Did you know that? All those stores.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, they were all Arab-owned. So this is the way America works. A white guy shoots a black guy, and the black guys destroy the Arab stores. That doesn't seem fair, does it?
I mean, no, but yeah. I concur.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ramsay.
Well, the next big thing would be, I just actually paid a black guy. It was Jamaican, and he climbed a tree, and I paid him $5, and he climbed the tree, and he had a machete, and he chopped a coconut from a coconut tree, and it fell on the ground, and he jumped down, and he grabs the coconut, and it says, I never repeat a joke on it.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So, I made a... Yeah, so, yeah, there's some cool videos. You can just go to Never Repeat a Joke at RamySplice.com.
All right.
Or you could go to the Arab Daily News page. You could see my articles there. I was on a news, actually, that you bring it up, in Odessa, Florida. And I was having an interview, and this guy, there was a genie and these special effects, and they introduced me, and behind them it was a big screen, and it had me telling jokes at a really nice stage. But it was on mute, and they interviewed me, and it was real classy, and He was still a little bit racist, but...
No, that's not good.
I mean, that's the reason why I got into it, you know?
Yeah. You know, because of race? Because of racism? Hey, listen, Ramsey, I wish you the best. You're one of my favorite guys, young guy, doing really well. All kidding aside, it's always fun to talk to you. I gotta let you go because we're right at the halftime. Wait, Khaled, do we have my new commercial or was that banned by the FCC? Oh, it was? They're not using it? Did we decide no? I liked it. It had me going, listen everybody, this is Rihanna Nia, and you better listen to Talk of the Town now. Friday, 4:05, yalla. But, apparently they thought they did a poll and it scared people. A lot of Americans got scared as they were driving down the street. They'd hear it on the radio. They were crashing and everything. So we had to drop that commercial. I felt kind of, yeah, that was it. That was the last scream. Ramsey, listen, RamseySwace.com, correct? Or NeverRepeatAJoke.com,
yeah.
The two websites. And of course, the Arab Daily News.
Yeah.
Great comedian, originally from Chicago, from the big Swayze family. We love the Swayze family. Every time I say that,
yeah,
I get a Slurpee for free.
At a family reunion. There were Swayzes from Jordan that flew in, and it was 90 Swayzes at a family reunion. I think it's number 54.
Wow! If all the Swayzes were in Chicago, who was running all those stores then? Who was operating all those stores, selling all those Slurpees? I don't know. That, you know, there was a big dip in the Slurpee sales that day you did that show. Nobody's selling Slurpees. Listen, Ramsey, we love you. You continue doing it, you know, a great job, and we'll keep following your career.
Yeah.
And keep us up to date on everything that's happening on Facebook. Let us know what's going on, all right? All right.
Yeah, and I love your show, and thank you so much. You know, it's always... we always have the best interviews. People always call me and commenting, and as you know, and I'm always available, always.
Well, when King Abdullah calls you yelling and screaming, okay, just blame it on me. He knows I'm Palestinian. And or put him on the radio. It's about as easy to get as Rahm Emanuel. Ramsey Swayze, our friend, the comedian who never repeats a joke. He's Jordanian from Chicago. Don't hold that against him. Because he's just a great guy. We love him. Ramsey, you take it easy. All right, man.
All right, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Happy New Year.
All right, you too. That was our buddy, Ramsey Swayze. And it was kind of a totally incoherent interview, wasn't it, Khaled? The whole thing was incoherent. I didn't even understand me. I couldn't understand what I was saying. All right, this is Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll try to get into some serious stuff with Ali Younis, some of the stories he's writing at the Arab Daily News. And also, we're going to talk about the movie, The Interview. Khaled saw it, and we're going to ruin it for everybody. All right, as soon as we come back, right after these messages.
The Arab voice is heard with Yahala Voice.
يتم الآن عرض للفن الإسلامي التشكيلي بكامل جماله وغناه في شيكاغو. The Art Institute of Chicago يحتضن معرض كامل للاستمتاع بفنون التخطيط، الهندسة، السيراميك والفن التشكيلي الموجود منذ آلاف السنين في جميع أنحاء العالم الإسلامي. لا تضيع الفرصة لمشاهدة أجمل أعمال الفن الإسلامي.
Home Life Furniture، آخر صيحات الأثاث وكل ما تحتاجه من مفروشات. Home Life Furniture، الأمانة، الأخوة والدقة في المواعيد.
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture, 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois, 708-631-3627. Mention Yahala Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
You have a medical alert device. When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Man Carry's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Man Carry's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Man Carry's at Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn. On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down, with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and dock fee.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية نوفرها لموائدكم. متطلبات المطبخ العربي نقدمها لكم من خلال ماركاتنا السلطان، كرافت، نستلي، بوب، ريفل بيكان، دانا. ستجدونها في كافة المحلات والبقاليات. للمزيد من المعلومات زوروا موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Rush, here to tell you about the best talk show on the planet. It's called Rise Up. If you're looking for a show that talks about all the issues that matter to you, then you need to listen to Rise Up. From the latest stories happening back home in Palestine, the Middle East, and of course, all the stories happening in our own backyard in Chicago, and of course, across the nation. That is what Rise Up is all about. Plus, Rise Up is a program that wants to hear from you. Call the show, 708-321-1313, extension 1. Oh, by the way, I also do this show with this guy named Bob. We call him the Great American. The guy thinks he's an expert when it comes to Arab-related news. Actually, he's not so bad. So listen to Rise Up every Wednesday, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Central Time on Chicago's 1450 a.m. and YaHelaVoice.com.
أسرة يا هلا فويس تتمنى لكم ولعائلاتكم عيد ميلاد مجيد. أعاده الله علينا وعليكم بالحب والخير والسلام. كل عام وأنتم بألف خير.
ليلة عيد، ليلة عيد، الليلة ليلة عيد، زيني وناس صوت جراس عم بترن.
يا هلا فويس، connecting the Arab voice today.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at 1450 AM on the dial. Broadcast live also, in addition to radio, in 1450 AM in Chicago. And we're broadcast live online at YaHelaVoice.com. They can hear us in the palace in the Hashemite Kingdom, where King Abdullah is already, you know, getting all the jet fighter jets already going. We're gonna take out that Hanania. We're going to get, you know what, Khaled, Russia's I'm sure your name is like every other Arab name, right? Made up, Hanania, yeah, whatever. Our guest, Ali Yunus, who's on the line. Before we get to Ali, Russia's commercial sounded so good. Mine was kind of like, bleh. Mine wasn't that great. I liked the one we did, but they didn't like it, did they? Oh, you think he did? That Rush, always trying to make me look bad, you know, with his commercials, trying to make himself look good all the time. Rush Darwish, every Wednesday at 4:30, I think, correct? 4:30 to 6. He has a great show, actually. What About Bob? That's what I got to say. He should have his own show called What About Bob? Do you ever see that movie, What About Bob? It's a great movie. It's a nice comedy. All right, we're on the line with my friend Ali Yunus. He's the editor of the Arab Daily News at thearabdailynews.com. Ali, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We were talking with Ramzi Swayze. He was a Jordanian comedian, kind of like you. And I pointed out that, you know, in Ferguson, Missouri, the white policeman shoots the African-American kid, right? And then the African-Americans get upset and riot, and then they burn down the Arab stores. So I don't know. How come we're the ones that take the beating? We're the ones that are in trouble over there. We lost like 30 stores.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
We've talked to some of the Arab owners back in the summer.
Yeah.
About what happened to them. And, you know, not only Arabs, but also Indians and other minority groups.
Yeah, but Americans think we're all Arab. They think they're all Arab. If you're dark and you have an accent, you're an Arab. That's what Americans think. They don't know.
Well, sometimes they think you are. I mean, sometimes people think I am Indian. Okay, I mean you can pass as
me.
Indian.
I'm definitely. Did you see that picture I posted of me from the 60s? My wife looked and said,
yes.
"Why did you post the picture of Yasser Arafat on your Facebook page?" I said, "That wasn't Yasser Arafat.
Right.
That was me."
That you look like Yasser Arafat in his 20s.
You think so? You think so? When he was in college in Cairo studying engineering.
Right, I was studying engineering.
How to build buildings and, you know, and then whatever. All right, we won't get into that joke because you know they'll take us down if we make a joke. If I say something bad about the president of the United States, they'll arrest me. But you want to say something bad about the president of North Korea, the dictator for life, his emissary, his eminence, the king, the ruler, the sole ruler, then they get really, they get mad when he gets upset. I don't get it. Hey, but before we get into that, and, Khalid saw the movie, The Interview, which is about killing the leader, a real leader of North Korea. I don't know if that's a movie, but before we do that, let's talk about some of the stories. You've had some great stories at the Arab Daily News, and you partnered with the Guardian newspapers to write a couple of them.
Right. Well, in the past couple of months, I've been going back and forth to Jordan. I led an international investigation with the Guardian newspaper in London, which is a 150-year-old newspaper, one of the best in the world. Well, I uncovered the effort to save the American hostage Peter Kasich, who was killed early November by ISIS.
Right.
See, what I uncovered was the secret negotiations and the secret efforts by a U.S. attorney, backed by the U.S. intelligence and the FBI and the Jordanian Mukhabarat intelligence.
Right.
Through Islamic jihadist leaders in Jordan who communicated with ISIS in order to win his release.
Now, is that a bad thing?
It was a good thing. It was the personal initiative of Stanley Cohen, a U.S. Attorney from New York,
right?
Who tragically is going to jail for tax evasion. I talked to him yesterday. I told him, "Stan, you look just like Al Capone."
Wow.
Okay, they got you for tax evasion.
You got to do an interview with Stanley Cohen about his life. You know, before he goes to jail, you got to do that interview with him.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday. I got several interviews with him in the can. But but Stanley Cohen, who defended Musa Abu Marzouk when he was in jail in the 90s, as he defended Hezbollah people, he had Hamas people, jihad people, you know, all the bad guys from a U.S. legal perspective. And lately he was defending Suleiman Abu Ghraib, who is the brother-in-law of bin Laden.
Right.
He was not a nice guy.
Yeah, but that's what every American lawyer does. I mean, Al Capone had a lawyer.
Right.
All these mobsters, you know, they were all represented by American lawyers. Nobody gets mad at the lawyer, do they? Unless the client is Arab.
Right. So, but Stanley, now somebody called him from overseas, from Lebanon, asking to come to the Middle East to try to win the Kasich release.
Right.
So what Stanley did. He reached out to the Justice Department, who hooked him up with the FBI. And this is all in the Guardian story.
Right.
The story called The Race to Save Peter Kasich. There's a short news story, and there's long read, which is
And was he a British or American guy, that Peter Kasich?
Peter Kasich is an American.
He was an American. What was he doing? Was he an aid worker?
From Indiana.
He
was an aid worker from Indiana. The last one was killed last November.
And that was tragic. Yeah, he was murdered by ISIS.
Yes.
So Stanley Cohen
went to Kuwait, and from Kuwait to Jordan. I met him in Jordan. I met him when I was meeting with Abu Qatada. I had a big story there.
Right.
Another controversial figure in Britain, Jordanian jihadist leader.
Right.
And this is another huge story I did with Abu Qatada. First interview he did with the Western media
right.
in 13 years. So from that, I saw the negotiations, but I promised them not to say anything. And I came back to the States,
right.
and Kasich was killed.
Wow.
And I called Stanley, and Stanley said, "Call me." Reached out to me a week later, said he was going to talk about the story.
Right.
So we got the story with The Guardian. So I went back to Jordan and I investigated further. But the story goes like this. Stanley Cohen went to Kuwait, talked to ex-Guantanamo detainees, and from there he went to Jordan to talk to the jihadists.
Right.
He got permission from through the American Intelligence Agency and the FBI to talk to the Jordanian Mukhabarat to permit al-Maqdisi to speak to ISIS. Because if I go to Jordan and speak to ISIS directly, they'll arrest me under the anti-terrorism laws.
Without permission, correct?
The Jordanians,
right.
through the American intelligence, through the FBI. This
right.
is all documented, by the way. We got all the emails, we got all the expenses, we got all the communication.
Right.
So what happened was, once the negotiation started by Abu Muhammad al-Maqdisi, a big jihadist leader, with the permission of the Jordanian Mukhabarat, and everybody knows about it, the Jordanians went and arrested him. He's still in jail now. Now, with this act of arresting the negotiator, they aborted the negotiations.
Right.
They ended it, and ISIS eventually, 3 weeks later, killed Peter Kasich.
Wow.
This is the story in a nutshell. If there was somebody interested, they could go online, Google it. You know, the race to save Peter Kasich. My name is Ali Yunus is on it,
right.
and Shiv Malik, Mustafa Khalili, and Spencer Ackerman. It's a huge effort in New York, London, Amman. And Washington, D.C. It was a big international investigation that we started there. So, and now what we have is the story is why the Jordanians killed Peter Kasich ended the negotiations and ended up killing Peter Kasich. You know why? Because maybe, according to Stanley Cohen, is I have another story, they don't want Islamic groups to win the release of an American citizen or. They didn't want Kasich to be alive because if he was alive, maybe they will jeopardize the war because ISIS might look, okay, somebody can negotiate with. So I don't know, but that's, you know, a speculation and many people will have their
Now, weren't they negotiating, though, with, weren't they negotiating with others, though? There were negotiations for other people, too, before this guy Kasich.
Right, right. Well, you know, with CIA, I get contacts, CIA officials told me that when I asked about it, there were other official channels. So
right.
the U.S. actually, on other official channels, meaning with countries in the region, doing through a list of Americans,
right.
besides the unofficial channel through Stanley Cohen, through the jihadists in Jordan. So there are multiple channels. Besides all these channels of the U.S., I am sure, theoretically at least, that they were planning a military rescue operation, as what they did in Yemen, and it was bad operation. Even though that operation had another negotiation channel, so it's a lot of intrigue, a lot of investigation, and it's a lot of you know when you go delve into the jihadist environment and all that this ecosystem, it just pulls you in because there's so many facts and so many information and so many groups. It's unlike what you read in the media, or especially in the Arab media, because we'll tend to misrepresent what really happened or who these people are, unless you get to know them and you write about them directly from their own, you know, mouths. So this investigation I did, and it's still actually I'm still working on a more aspects of it because it's not the complete story yet.
Yeah, and you were in Jordan several times, and I imagine. That may have raised some eyebrows. You're not a Jordanian journalist. You're an American journalist who happens to
yes.
be Palestinian.
In fact, I got some nice story.
Yeah. What was that like?
Last Monday, not this Monday, the Monday before,
right.
I got called by the Jordanian Mukhabarat. They called me on my cell phone. They said they would like to meet me.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I got the guy's name and number, and I went there in the evening. And they were very respectful, very courteous. very nice. I mean, they're very professional people. They are CIA trained, okay? So they're not, you know, hoodlum or, you know, Iraq, or just like Iraqi intelligence or Syrian intelligence. They will kill you, kill all your family. So Jordanian intelligence are much more civilized than
wow.
that. So we had a nice conversation about my work. So they read all of my work, and I asked them why they called me in. They said, well, you're very active. I mean, you're everywhere, so we'd like to get to know you. So it was more like a social call.
Right.
But I took opportunity of that visit to the Mukhabarat, and I gave them a list of questions for my investigation.
Right.
Who, incidentally, they had no clue about my investigation. So I gave them a set of questions. I told them, you know, this is the question you need to answer for the story. You would like to, of course.
They didn't try to, they didn't waterboard you or anything?
You know,
they didn't did they waterboard you?
No, they just gave me coffee.
Were they nice? Were they nice to you, really? I mean, you get a call from the Mukhabarat. Nice.
Well, the Jordanian Mukhabarat, you know, look, I met in Jordan Al-Qaeda people, ISIS people,
right?
Zarqawi people, all kinds of terrorists.
What did the U.S. do when you came back? Aren't they mad that you met with all those people?
No, I'm a journalist. I mean, these guys are not, like, in hiding.
Right.
These guys who spend jail time. They're, you know, legally out and about. I mean, they are free people.
Right.
But what I'm saying, they have past lives, different affiliations. So I met with them. And all the stories on the Arab Daily News, you know, to ex-Al-Qaeda guy who was in Afghanistan during 9/11. So I wrote a nice story in the Arab Daily News about what was it like. And he told me that everybody knew about 9/11 before it happened 2 months ago in Afghanistan. And it was so public.
Man.
And I was wondering why they could not prevent it. So there's a story in the Arab News about that. So every guy I meet there, I write a story about.
Wait,
you know,
so all the people that you met, a lot of them said they knew what was going to happen on September 11th?
Yes.
How come Americans didn't know they wanted to know?
No, I mean, this is, you know, when I researched the story, George Tenet also, they have a prayer now, something big will happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
They knew
this
something.
This is documented in several books. It's documented with CIA, Bill Tenet in his memoir, met with Condoleezza Rice to tell her they got intelligence from Afghanistan. Something big is going to happen. The administration did not take it very seriously.
Right.
And September 11th. But from Al-Qaeda guys in Afghanistan, this is like a first to me. Like, I could read about it in the Washington Post. There's a story on it. But to me, the guy who was there to tell me who knew about it, who did not know about it, that wasn't new. So it's in the Arab Daily News that, you know, that it was public information. Even other jihadist figures told me about it, that they knew about it. But they did not know the details, because only maybe four people knew the details, and I mentioned those four people in my story in the Arab Daily News. So so that's, and these guys, I mean, they told me about the Jordanian Mukhabarat, but, I mean, you could visit these guys if they are detained. They could lawyers. They're not being killed, obviously. I mean, I had lunches and dinners and manifests with these guys. I went to a wedding, a big jihadist leader in Ma'an, south of Jordan. It's like a war zone because they were firing automatic machine guns in the air. So just, you know, chasing the stories of all these guys. So, and they said, yeah, I mean, the Jordanian Mukhabarat, with all its bad reputation, it's nevertheless, it's much better than if you were arrested by the Syrian Mukhabarat.
Yeah, I would think so. That is probably a certainty. And even the Egyptian Mukhabarat lately, they've been pretty rough.
Yes. And I asked the Jordanian Mukhabarat, I told him about that. He said, well, Jordan is sort of a special case because it's a society, everybody knows everybody, is a tribal, it's very connected. You can't really lead a republic of blood and fear in Jordan, because you will just destroy the country.
Yeah.
Because the tribes will be upset, everybody will be upset, and you don't need to do that, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, that's why Jordan is still holding, is still civil in comparison, and is still together in comparison to the region, because I think, in hindsight, because the Jordanian regime is flexible enough to absorb all these groups within its system, and prevented it from crossing the line, a danger line. Let's say if they want to cross the line and commit terrorist act, they'll be arrested and perhaps executed. Mm-hmm. So they keep them on a leash, so
to
speak.
Short leash, right.
And, yeah, So not to, you know, just to be free, but not free enough to commit terrorist acts.
Right.
You know? So, and that's it's a strong security state, but not as bloody as one would think, or at least in the past. And one Mukhabarat officer told me that we are in 2014, okay? So their treatment of people is totally different when they were treating them in the 70s or in the 80s.
Allie,
you know, was harsh,
Allie,
more violent.
I want to ask you about Stanley Cohen. Does he feel that he's being persecuted because of who he's represented? I mean, you said that he may go to jail for tax evasion. Was that what it was?
Yeah, he will. Yeah, he does.
Income tax evasion? Do you think he feels he's being targeted for political reasons?
He thinks so.
Yeah.
He thinks so because of what happened. I mean, it was just for a long time going after him.
And you know, it kind of breaks the whole stereotype, right? I mean, Stanley Cohen, I'm assuming, is Jewish, right?
He is Jewish. He is Jewish. He's
and he's standing up for the rights of individuals who happen to be Muslim and Arab.
Right. In fact, in my story yesterday in the Arab Daily News about the Jordanian pilot who was captured and why ISIS will not go for the Jordanians, I quoted him. I talked to him yesterday. In fact, I arranged an interview with him for Al Jazeera English, who went to talk to him. So they reached out to me, and I arranged that with him. So he'll be out. He should report to jail January 6th, unless his lawyer told me his lawyer asked for a 10-day extension.
Right.
Not to report to jail on the 6th, but later on. So today, his last day at his office. He moved to another house, but he should be reporting to jail.
Well, January 6th is Saturday. Listen, do me a favor. Get him on the radio Friday next week, all right? That's the 5th. January 5th. Get him on radio. You join him.
Yeah.
Let's talk to him. Yeah, let's talk to him. Because I bet he'll talk. Yeah. I'd love to talk to this guy and let him tell his story, and let's see what happens. How's that?
Yes. He's featured prominently in my Guardian story. I mean, I encourage everybody to read it. They would like to know what really happened and, you know, why the U.S. or the Jordanians did not really act to save an American citizen, a victim of circumstance.
Well, couldn't it have been that they just weren't able to do it, that it fell through? I mean, do you really think that they didn't want to help? I think it's a little tough. That's a Jordanian pilot.
You know, somebody dropped the ball. Somebody dropped the ball.
But that doesn't mean they didn't want to help. That doesn't mean that they didn't want to help, though.
The American intelligence did not press the Jordanian Mukhabarat, did not call them and say, release Makhdisi, let them continue the negotiation. They did not do that.
All right. Allie, we've run out of time. Do me a favor. Let's try to get Stanley Cohen on the radio. That would be January 2nd, if he's free, next Friday. I'd love to get him on. You join him.
Next Friday, right?
Yeah, next Friday, January 2nd. So he has 4 days of freedom before he has to go to jail on the 6th. So let's get him on the radio on Talk of the Town, which is really just a big promo for the ArabDailyNews.com website. We never got to talk about the interview, but listen, we're running out of time. My guest on the line is Allie Yunus.
The story is such an intrigue and such a lot of information.
Well, we'll have everybody check out Allie Yunus at TheArabDailyNews.com. You can get his stories there and read up on some of these things that we've been talking about today. Allie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later. And I want to thank Khalid. We never got to talk about the interview, but who cares anyway? Who knows? I like Seth Rogen. He's a funny comedian. James Franco, too, but I'm just not sure about the whole idea. Listen, everybody, thank you for joining us here at Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania with my son, Aaron Hanania, who's been a great kid, sitting here nice and quiet, playing on his computer while I've been on the air, taking notes for his mom to report me to the Mossad, probably. But what are you going to do? Hey, have a great new year, everybody. We'll talk to you next week on Friday, January 2nd, next year, 2015. Khalid, thank you. Everybody here at Yahala Voice, have a great new year. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.
Yahala Voice, the Arabic voice in America.